Half a day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
And notice, when the issues of life are in God's hand, it's easy at that. But you take them out of His hand, and you get hot under the collar with everything bursting inside you until you get your own back. It's not the way for a man or a woman of God.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
In the life of David, we started with being 15 years old, that he was selected by God to become king. We also talked about the slaying of the giant and what catapulted David into leadership at 16, and then the start of his public leadership when the reality was he was serving the king. And then misjustices, misunderstandings, insecurities and fears put him in a place that he's now being shaped in the wilderness. And we're coming to the end of that time period as David here is being shaped in the wilderness, getting close to, as he doesn't know this, heading into the kingship. He's probably 28, 29 years old. He's been out in the wilderness with 600 men. Look at 1 Samuel 25, because I think you'll end up finding this to be helpful to you today. And I'd like to look at the story in three very simple parts. Let me give you three characters, the primary characters, and let me give you the characteristics of each one of these. Because if you are breathing and living today, I promise you, sometime along the way of life, you will need to be reminded of this truth. Let me give you, first of all, the character of Nabal, because I put it as the absurdity by Nabal, or in other words, this was the provocation. Notice verse 2, there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep, 3,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel, and the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. She's the second character. She was a woman of good understanding, beautiful countenance. The man was churlish and evil in his doings. Basically, he was an idiot. But you end up finding this is where David sent his 10 young men out, and he took care of them. He protected these sheep shearers from others that would come in and try and steal the wool and steal the sheep and attack the men, and he protected them all. And that's what you end up finding what happens in verse 9 when David's young men came and they spoke to Nabal and said, according to the words, and the custom really was to pay them for this, that Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who's David?" And David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told all these sayings. It was absurd. It was foolish. In fact, his Nabal's own name, as we find out, means fool. He lived his life as if there were no God. He was stubborn, wealthy, harsh, dishonest in his dealings, a lousy husband, and selfishness was at the core. That was Nabal. And that's why you end up finding, secondly, not just the absurdity by Nabal and the provocation, but you end up finding the anger that was expressed by David. In other words, he was passionate about it all. Unfortunately, you find David expressing of his anger, as Redpath says, never act in a panic. Because look what you find in verse 13. David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And here's David now so torqued because of some idiot that he's ready to start World War III. And that's why you find the illustration of Abigail, who Abigail expressed that appeal. And she did it as a peacemaker. There was a plea here. Notice what she does. First of all, she acknowledges there's a problem. Notice this, it says in verse 18, when Abigail made haste, she takes 200 loaves, verse 18, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep, ready dressed. In other words, she's got a full fiesta happening here on wheels, 5 measures of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs. So here she heads out to meet David, and she meets him. David says, "Surely in vain have I kept all this fellow as in the wilderness, and nothing's missed in all that pertaining to me, and has requited me of evil for good." He means he's still talking about, "I'm coming down, buddy, and I'm on visitation. You got big problems." So more and more also do God unto the enemies of David. Notice verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hastened, lighted off the ass, fell before David in her face, and bowed herself to the ground, fell at his feet. I mean, she's acknowledging, we got big problems here, and I'm going to take care of it. She uses kind words. Notice verse 24. She says, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. Let my handmaid, I pray thee, speak in your audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for his own name. So he is. Nabal's his name, and folly's with him, and I'm your handmaid. I didn't see the young men of my Lord whom thou sent. You know what she's doing? She's acknowledging there's a problem. And actions always speak louder than words. And she organizes this full-scale catering service with donkey delivery for 600 men. And she's going to calm the tide here. Notice, secondly, she sympathizes with them. She says, listen, I know who I'm dealing with. And she said it kindly. She wasn't critical. She wasn't talking bad. She was just stating, this is the way it is. Verse 26, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, seeing the Lord is coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself of thine handmaid, now let mine enemies, and they speak evil to my Lord, be his neighbor. And now this blessing which thine handmaid has brought into my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. And she's sympathizing. She's expressing, I know there's problems here. She's ringing the bells, she's blowing the whistles, she's got a sense of urgency. She does accept responsibility, thirdly, and appeals for reprieve. She's accepting this and she's saying, listen, I know it's my responsibility. It was very selfless. She said in verse 28, forgive the trespass of your maidservant, she said. She said, your maidservant did not see the young men of my Lord. I didn't realize it, but she was sincere and she's accepting responsibility. She wasn't trying to get out of it. And the fact of the matter is, she really wasn't responsible to a degree. It was her husband that did this. But she, as a good wife, takes that on to say, hey, I'll accept this for him. We are one and I accept this. And as she begins to express, even in verse 29, a powerful statement. I underlined it in my Bible. Yet a man is risen to pursue you and to seek your soul, but the soul of my Lord, David she's talking to, shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. You know what she said? You are as secure in his treasure pouch, David, as anybody. God's hand is on you. You are going to be the king. And just as God would end up having this treasure pouch that's kept close to a person in that particular day under the outer robe, no one could get to it. It was protected. Abigail was saying, David, you're just like that. You're in the treasure pouch of God. And she says, now conversely, notice powerful statement in verse 29, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. You know what she's saying? That he will deliver and deal with our difficulties and our enemies as simply as throwing a stone from a sling. And she contrasts this picture of David. You are in God's treasure pouch, so close to his heart. God's given you so much. Why are you thinking about doing something to these people? Because they are in contrast like this so exposed sling that a stone's put in there. And just as David is a man that used that sling to kill a Goliath, he knew instantly, hey, just as that stone just gets flung away from me, so is my enemies. They're getting flung away from all and who that I am. What a wonderful picture. What a great promise to know that lastly, even as Abigail handled this, by acknowledging, by sympathizing, by accepting, and lastly, she was promising. She was promising to help, and she was promising to change. That's what you end up finding in verse 30. And she said, and it's going to come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all that good that he's spoken concerning thee and has appointed you. And notice she's saying, if you do this, verse 31, then this shall be no grief unto you, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, my Lord has avenged himself. And when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember your handmaid. You know, the great part of this story you find in verse 32, when David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day. And David now gets over it. He blows up. He doesn't clam up, but he certainly clears it up. And he puts himself in a place to realize, you know what, I got to make a difference here. I can make a difference. And God, you used her to speak to me. And notice, when the issues of life are in God's hand, it's easy at that. But you take them out of his hand. And you get hot under the collar with everything bursting inside you until you get your own back. It's not the way for a man or a woman of God. Abigail's argument was so gracious and tender without a word of harshness or rebuke. When you're on the point of letting somebody have it, if only you would stop and kneel in the presence of the Lord, then this Holy Spirit would speak to you as he did with Abigail, who spoke to David. What a wonderful, wonderful story. You know what that says, you and me today? We've got to realize that we are responsible for our actions and our reactions. We're responsible for the events that take place in our life. How often have you heard it said, you are not responsible for the circumstances? God rarely explains circumstance. He does explain himself. And your own choice, by incorporating the very power of God, the resurrection power of God, to choose to do what is right, it is not about personality. It is not about, well, I'm just a hot, passionate man. Does that exchange the fact that you keep having conflicts? That is not helping. No more apparent than another story that I read by Alfred Adler, who years ago during World War I told a story about two men who bumped into each other at a railway station in Austria one day. One of those men, an alcoholic, begged of the other man who was there in the car enough money to buy one more bottle of wine. Well, the other responded with surprise that such an intelligent-looking man could sink to the status of living from one drink to another. Well, the beggar explained that the cards of life had been stacked against him. His mother died when he was young. His father had beaten him and his brothers and his sisters unmercifully. And then when World War I came, the family was permanently separated. He said, you see, I never had a chance. Well, the other man responded, this is strange. It's strange for my background, similar to yours. I too lost my mother. And when I was young, and my father, he was brutal. And the war separated our entire family as well. I felt I had no choice, listen, but to try to overcome these circumstances rather than to be overcome by them. And surprisingly, as the men began to continue to talk, that they realized an incredible discovery, that they were blood brothers, separated by the trauma of war. What is it that you are using as your own straw men, your excuses, your, well, this is just I am. My dad's this way. Well, my mom's this way. Well, you know, this is the way I've always been. Or do you end up saying, God, would you please be merciful to help me in those moments in time that seem to be so overwhelming to respond with kindness? And you might be that, Abigail, to offset and defuse scenarios in which become so difficult. This is why you end up finding this story so painfully to be true, as God himself, as he often does through Scripture, takes those men of God that are men of God and puts us in a place to realize that just as David found himself in a place to know I needed to be changed. We don't have time to go through the rest of the story, but you can read it later. It's a wonderful conclusion, because the fact is that as Abigail later ends up telling her husband about what took place after he was drunk, and comes to, she ends up telling him what just took place, and he basically has a heart attack. 10 days later, he dies. And in God's own, maybe humorous way, but maybe merciful way, ends up uniting David and Abigail together, and Abigail ends up staying with David, which we'll end up looking at another episode that does involve Abigail and his whole family. These are great truths for you and I today that are timeless, to help us realize we can handle this the same way, in a right way, because God promises that he will work through that. And just as Nabal is removed and Abigail is rewarded, David's reaction is stopped, and David takes another step in his illustriously well-documented life. What is it that God has said to you today? Who is it that you need to forgive? Who is it that you need to deal with in a better way? None of us stand without excuse, my friend. I certainly don't. As a restudy of this, I need to be reminded again how often it is I don't end up handling things rightly, and I want to do so. With God's help, we can.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.